Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, March 5th edition of Buyers & Company. We'll have Mark Tupper with us this hour, plus the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, and your chance to win tickets to the final Home Illini game this season, courtesy of First Mint Insurance Group. It starts now.
Buyers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are just, a couple of weeks away from the Illinois primary. There will be some local decisions to be made. We've got state's attorney. We've got circuit clerk. We've got some county board seats that will be on that ballot. We'll have, I believe, Nick, if I'm not mistaken here, as I look at the calendar. Yes, Sherry Doty will be with us this morning, one of the candidates for circuit clerk. Paul, you know, these are important offices, but it's hard to sort of get your message out with all of the national stuff going on, and particularly this time around the Democrat side, you know, with the race to see who's going to be the nominee for president. Tough for these local folks to get their message out there.
Yeah, I think the national scene just kind of sucks all the news out of
or all of your energy. Like when you're done with that, you're like, I'm sorry, I don't have time for the circuit clerk's race. But the person who's in that office, it's very important to our community.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've always felt too, that these are people that have a direct influence on your life.
I mean, day-to-day life.
Yeah, and it's just you see them on the street, you see them here in your community, many of these people have worked long and hard many years, for the taxpayers, and then they decide to run, you know, for the office, the top office itself. So they've invested a lot of themselves in this, and
yeah,
they deserve more.
Yeah, this is a unique primary in this sense that both of them, the candidates, work for the actual office.
Yeah, and I think that that's been an office that's had some good campaigns in the past, too.
Well, I always thought Lois was pretty solid, you know.
Yeah, and Lois ran, I think, a couple times at least before she was elected, and she did. She kind of hung in there and got elected. So I think she's done a great job.
State's attorney, circuit clerk, county board. I think we have all of them coming in before the 17th, so at least you'll have a chance to get to meet them a little bit. When you go to vote. It's also hard from a voter point of view. You know what I mean? You don't really comprehend the circuit clerk's office the way that you think you maybe do the Oval Office, right? I mean you kind of know what you're voting for president, you know, but the circuit clerk, I had jury duty. I mean, they are over a lot of things.
Yeah, and I probably maybe realize that more than most because of our interaction with the circuit clerk's office and the people who work there and the public records that we get from there. There's a lot more to that office than most people think, and the various departments of it. And I think the average person thinking of circuit clerk, I don't think they could probably define a lot of what the circuit clerk's office does, unless they've been contacted or they're directly involved with that office.
And if you want to get married in front of a justice of peace, I mean, you know, that's your place. You go for all of that. Anyway, we'll meet the candidate. I do also sense. And I don't know if this is a passing of time story. I don't know if this is more about me than it is the candidates. But I find, not out of touch, but I find like a lot of these candidates I'm meeting for the first time.
Yeah, that's true. Some you know them, but there's some candidates you look and say, you know, what's your background? What you've done? What have you done in the community in that? And they emerge to run.
And I don't know if that's important or not. It's just anecdotal, just meaning that like, if somebody were going to run for a countywide office 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I generally would have met them and knew them a little bit, and they stepped up to run. Now I'm meeting a lot of these people for the first time. And like I said, that may be just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, too, if you were just starting, if this was your first year and my first year with a paper, it'd probably be different because probably maybe a little more aggressive and personally meeting a lot of people along the way. And I think over time, there are people you're acquainted with, you've known for years, and then when someone new pops up, it's like it's a new person. it's a happening.
It is. But I guess my larger question is not about me or even about you, but, has campaigning changed? I mean, there was a way to do this for a long time, right? You go to all the breakfasts, you go to all the lunches, you do the events. Maybe they were charity, or you'd work a circuit.
Yeah, well, I think the media, you look at it, and it's so much different now than it was.
Yeah.
You didn't have Facebook, you didn't have all the social media that you have today. I think to a certain extent, candidates now are using something that's kind of impersonal compared to what they.
Well, but it's also numbers, though, Paul. I'm not a Luddite. We're within all the tech. But I question sometimes when candidates have 500 followers on social media, that's not enough to get elected. You're talking to an audience of people who are basically your supporters and would vote for you anyway.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that those who count on Facebook likes in order to support their candidacy and say, don't count on that. And I think we go back to there used to be a time, and Adam Brown was a great example of this. He wasn't given much chance to win the city council. That guy went out and went door to door during a time, maybe when it was changing, when you did a lot more advertising. And he won, much to a lot of people's surprise, but he went everywhere.
And then he went over there and did the same thing in Springfield.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of people still, some candidates still go door to door, but I don't think as many just simply because of the numbers. You only have so much time, and I think it's great to go door to door, but people live different lives today than they did 50 years ago. A lot of people aren't even home during the day when you're trying to go there.
Is the door-to-door thing still... Nick, let me ask you, and I think of you as a younger man because you are a younger man, but not that much younger. If somebody knocks on your door, I don't even want to open the door. What is your reaction to like a candidate knocking on your door?
I have reluctance, but I assume they're probably telling me how I can save on my power bill. That's what I'm assuming they're saying when they knock on my door. But I've had candidates, not them themselves, but their people show up on my door and ask me a few questions. I generally answer them if I have time.
I have not had, I would say it's been 5 years since a personal visit from a candidate to my front door.
Well, I think we live in a different time. There's security concerns and everything else that you didn't used to have 50 years ago. And I think...
Yeah, but I think even in the last 5 to 10 years, you don't have to go back 50. I think, and Nick's also a marketing expert and does this and has done this like on a national and global level. This idea that candidates think because they have social media they can reach people, their reach only goes to the reach. If they have 500 followers, that's all they're hitting.
Yeah, by and large. And part of the problem is the data is there and you could quantify it and say, I have this many likes and I have this many hits. But the conversion, and what is the actual conversion? If it's something like buying a product, like you have 500 likes and 400 of them buy the bike you're selling, you could tell it worked. 500 likes, how many of those ended up 2 weeks later showing up and voting for you?
Yeah.
And that's,
if you need thousands of votes.
Exactly.
The 500 is not going to do
it. It's not enough.
And we now know from Mike Bloomberg and Tom Steyer that if you don't have the product, you can spend all the money you want and it doesn't translate into votes. So I just think that maybe there's like, I think it was the chamber. Somebody did kind of a political boot camp a few years ago for potential candidates.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good idea because it's almost becoming kind of a lost art.
Yeah, you're right. I think also, going to the door-to-door, hasn't been that long ago, well, maybe 20 years ago, that people started, having decks and patios in the back of their house instead of sitting on the front porch where candidates could walk up and say, hi, how you doing? I'm running for this office. So that's changed. But I think that, number one, the candidate has to be a likable person. And I think we've seen people with all the money in the world. If you're not likable, you're
Paul,
wasting
your there's money. A poll that's done every presidential election cycle that no one pays attention to, but it may be the most accurate poll in all the history of polling. Who would you rather have a beer with? And that simple question, generally the person that wins that question wins the White House.
Yeah.
Now, this year... Bernie Trump, that question will not matter at all. But in previous years, boiling down, because I do think that people want to relate and like a person they're voting for.
Yeah, and I think that's where Michael Bloomberg, you know, failed.
Cold fish.
Yeah, and just people looked at him and they could feel no attachment to him.
Yeah.
And except here's a wealthy guy getting it in, spending $500 million to campaign. He's trying to buy the president. But even in the debate, which probably
the debate was horrible.
Yeah, he came across as someone that you don't even want to be around.
Yep.
May I finish? Thank you.
Yeah,
you
know, he was just not prepared at all, which is amazing to me that you're going to go out. I mean, I would think I'm not the ninth richest man in the world, and he is, or in America. But if I were going to invest $500 million, that I would have been a little more prepared than that.
How about some debate prep?
Yeah, or maybe they did, and that's just what you get. And yeah. He's out now. Have you ever seen in your lifetime of covering politics a turnaround like this Joe Biden turnaround? Have you ever witnessed anything close to it?
No, not really haven't. 2 weeks ago, we had an editorial cartoon in the Tribune that showed Biden up talking at a podium, and the extension cord to his microphone was unplugged from the wall. It's just like he was unplugged from the American people.
And done. He was done. He was toast. No way. Now, Bill Clinton did have a comeback. I mean, you go back, they called him the comeback kid. You can go look at that primary, and it was an interesting one. But it isn't even remotely close to everybody basically writing the epitaph for Joe Biden to a resurrection. I mean, yeah. You know, he literally comes out of Super Tuesday. And some of that Bernie underperformed a little bit. Joe Biden overperformed quite a bit. The Democratic establishment does not want Bernie, so they're putting all their eggs in that basket. So it was kind of a perfect storm. But I've never seen anything like it.
No, I haven't either. And Biden, too. I mean, he's, you know... He's given to miscues a lot. He says the wrong thing. What was the other day? He mixed up his wife and his sister. Here's a person with his finger on the nuclear button that he's elected. But that says a lot. You know, Democrats look at him, and I talked about that last week. I think the rank-and-file Democrat, they're afraid of Bernie because they know Bernie will not beat Trump.
No.
You know, Joe is their only chance.
Nope.
I think that's part of the turnaround right there.
What do you think Illinois will do in this race? Because I'm looking at Michigan next week, and if Biden wins Michigan, I think it's done. Yeah. Bernie may not drop out the next day, but and who knows? The last presidential election, this presidential election, we just talked about, never seen anything like this. I don't think there's any certainties. My theory is Biden wins Michigan next week, it's all but done, meaning that the cards are set, and we'll see how it plays out. But will Illinois matter? On the 17th. That seems like an eternity.
Yeah, it really does. It just seems like we're kind of late in the game here with our primary. It looks like maybe a state like Illinois should be among the first ones. We're a very diverse state. You get a feeling of, Iowa and Illinois, you're talking about two different worlds.
Absolutely.
There. And maybe they should bump
Illinois, New Hampshire, even worse. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So, but I think really
Iowa's lost it, right? They're not ever going to be first again.
I wouldn't think so. No, yeah. And maybe we have an opportunity there.
I'd love it.
Yeah. Well, you feel kind of left out of the process, at least the primary process, because it's been decided and probably will be by the time they get around to us. And I think if Biden certainly continues to do well, then Illinois will be strong Biden country, I think.
Do you think so? You know, yeah. It's interesting. I was looking at the Chicago teacher endorsement, or the teachers union endorsement of Bernie Sanders yesterday. Now, he went and stood on the picket lines with them. This isn't any sort of surprise. But I think they are so out of touch. They've been at war with, before the current mayor Rahm Emanuel, who helped get control of the Congress for Democrats, who was the chief of staff for President Obama. This war inside the Democratic Party is an interesting one. Because, you know, 4 years ago isn't a long time. President Obama is still, when you do look at polling, one of the most popular people around. How did the Democratic Party get that far in 4 years away from that, or at least portions of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think it's the national embarrassment of always investigating and everything else, and they've come across as a different kind.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just even in their own internal ranks, this whole thing that Bernie was going to take this, right, despite all their best efforts to stop him, and maybe they have now, I don't know, AOC, some of these other folks. You know, you can get elected in a congressional district in New York City, but that does not mean that what you think is going to play across this entire country. But there is a whole wing of that party that is like they're do or die. I mean, there's no compromise. There's no we can agree to disagree. You got to pass this litmus test or we're coming after you in primaries. What is the future of the Democratic Party? How do they choose?
I don't know. And I think that's, the rank and file Democrat.
In Illinois versus the rank and file Democrat in AOC's different. Congressional district.
Yeah, yeah. Could she get elected here in downstate Illinois? No way. And I think you have to measure all the polling and everything else by the people in various congressional districts. The Democrats in various congressional districts. And I think the number one goal is to get rid of Donald Trump by electing a Democrat. And I think they're fumbling around and they feel hesitant to put their vote behind Bernie because they don't feel a socialist can beat Donald Trump. And
not only not beat Donald Trump, but what that means down ticket.
Yeah. And it's going to impact. You're exactly right. It's going to impact all the way down. And those people have to be concerned, too.
Right.
I want a candidate. Joe's as liberal as they come.
But he looks
conservative compared to Bernie. Yeah,
I think Joe's a pretty moderate guy. But my point is that if you wake up after the November election and you're the Bernie supporters, right, and you've lost the presidency and you've lost the House, Nancy Pelosi's no longer the speaker and Donald Trump is reelected, what did you do? Because you had this purity thing, you know, where you had to have all of this and everyone had to be in this line. What do you wake up and do?
Well, you start
more protest, more, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to get your party elected. And I think most Democrats are on that page.
Yeah, yeah, I do too, because they realize that that's the only way we're going to get any power back at all.
Yeah.
And we can't take another 4 years of this. But I think the bottom line of this whole thing is who is most likely to beat Donald Trump? And Bernie isn't. And I say,
By the way, I agree with you, but I don't know that.
I don't know much of anything.
No,
anymore.
What I'm saying is I am not certain of that. My belief is the people that I live and work with and as a whole, socialism to them is a different thing than a congressional district in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
But in this country, people have been left out of this process for so long. The reason Donald Trump got elected is the same reason that Bernie Sanders could get elected. The parties, the system has left so many people out. You know, they really have both sides of the aisle. And there's anger out there. Some of it is righteous. Some of it's maybe not. It's too big a thing to put into one category, but I believe Bernie Sanders would not be elected president of the United States, but I don't know that.
Yeah. Well, as you look at this whole, who expected Joe Biden to come back? He was finished 2 weeks ago.
I was sitting right down the hall here on election day or the day before election day. I don't remember if it was the Monday or Tuesday, having this discussion with Beth Newhoff. And if you know Beth Newhoff, Beth Newhoff's not a Donald Trump fan. But I was telling her, this isn't over. And you watch Michigan and you watch Ohio, and Donald Trump has a chance of getting elected. Never going to happen. This is over. This is done. And I was watching, the results that night, right? And everybody, every pundit, every person on television. You know, the only one that was looking at some Vegas gambling odd site was Britt Hume on Fox News. I mean, I remember this like it was yesterday, but it was like a revolution.
Yeah.
And you know what? You sort of felt happy, even if you didn't like Donald Trump, and I don't, that it was sort of like, oh, all of these people can get it wrong. You know, the whole country can send a message to this entire system that got this wrong. And it's possible that Bernie and his group could do the exact same thing.
I don't know. They certainly have the backing of the national media, most of the national media.
I think they get the backing of a lot of people.
Yeah, I think they're pushing Bernie, but that's kind of the same reason in some ways that Trump got elected, because Hillary was a shoe-in. You have to be careful about that.
And in the greater scheme of things, I think that's probably good for the country, that we can't count on shoe-ins. Because both parties have used that for far too long. And we'll see what happens. And by the way, I'm not rooting for Bernie. I'm not rooting for Trump. I mean, in fact, if that's my two choices, I might just sit that one out and vote the rest of the ticket.
I just don't think Bernie can beat Trump. People want change.
Conventional wisdom? I agree with you. I'm just saying, if history teaches us nothing, right, we have seen the impossible happen.
We keep hoping to be predictable in the right sense.
And then Joe Biden just showed you that's not the case either. All right, here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. 5 years of tuna. We're going to talk about it. I read your piece today. Okay. Just amazing how quick time flies.
Oh, yeah.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 56 and breezy. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 31. For Friday, partly sunny, and then it'll be sunny the rest of the day with a high of 44. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 54. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 38 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:27, and this look at your weather is brought to you by Maroa Lumber Company.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt and Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-2222.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ibora, and I'm asking for your vote for Macon County Circuit Clerk. I have worked in the Circuit Clerk's office for the last 6 years, and I understand how local government impacts the lives of citizens every day. If elected, I would bring a strong commitment to service, along with enhancing the working relationships between government agencies. On March 17th, I'm asking you to vote for me, Jennifer Ibora, Macon County Circuit Clerk.
Paid for by Friends of Ibora.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, we get back on the other side of the break. We're going to visit with Mark Topper, and then Paul and I reminisce a little bit about tuna. 5 years up, Paul. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, time goes by so fast. It seems like only yesterday. Really.
I got the same notice I'm assuming you got about the fifth and final, I think, the fundraiser for the YMCA. They do
Great ally on council when I was mayor, and a lot of memories there.
Well, the last McElroy Memorial Golf outing, which benefits the YMCA, and Tuna was a huge supporter of the YMCA, is July 17th to the day when he died.
Yeah.
And 5 years. It is amazing how fast time flies. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I want to retell the story of how the Tuna mural happened, because July 17th to the first weekend in August is not a lot of time. If you remember, that happened during the Decatur celebration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of great people that got behind that. And I still to this day drive around Central Park and look at that every single morning. We're going to take a break for stories and news. We get back here, Mark Topper, and then more with the City Hall Insider. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Staley Credit Union, your loan experts. Legislation sponsored by State Representative Dan Calkins to make it easier for former teachers to return to the classroom made it out of the committee this week. The legislation would reduce the penalty for renewing an expired professional educator license, a move Calkins hopes will ease the teacher shortage. House Bill 4382 provides for the reinstatement of a lapsed professional educator license upon payment by the applicant of a $10 penalty for each year the license has lapsed, with the maximum penalty of $100. Victims of the deadly plane crash Tuesday on Interstate 55 have been identified. The Cessna 172 departed Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington and crashed around 8:50 a.m. Tuesday morning on Interstate 55 at milepost 26 in Lincoln. That prompted the closure of the interstate for several hours as the plane was engulfed in flames and numerous agencies responded. The victims were identified as 22-year-old Mitchell Jansen of Princeville, Illinois, 33-year-old Matthew Hansen of Pulaski, Wisconsin, and 30-year-old Kevin Chapman of Urbana. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. A top Democrat's about to get called out on the Senate floor from the majority leader.
It started when Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer told an abortion rights crowd outside the Supreme Court,
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Chief Justice John Roberts criticized that remark about the justices as dangerous and inappropriate.
Fox's Jill Nato. Schumer's comments coming as justices were hearing arguments over a Louisiana law critics say will leave just one doctor in the state to perform abortions. And a cruise ship carrying thousands being told it cannot dock at California's port of San Francisco after a passenger from a previous trip dies of coronavirus. Dozens on board this cruise had also been on the one with the 71-year-old with an underlying condition. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey, runners and cyclists. Tune in to Byers & Company every Tuesday morning at 6:45. Kyle May from Spin City Cycles and Fleet Feet Sports joins the show and gives the lowdown on upcoming rides and races, training runs, routes, times, and locations. You'll also find all of this information at nowdecatur.com.
Apparently, you just run for an extended period of time. It's supposed to be wild.
Ride and run with Spin City Cycles and Fleet Feet Sports, only from nowdecatur.com.
It's time to talk technology with Bechtech. Hi, this is Matt Beck, president of Bechtech, Central Illinois' technology expert. For over 30 years, we've been your local source for technology needs, including phone systems, two-way radios, and security cameras. Let us prepare a cost comparison on your existing technology products and services and show you how you can save money and increase business efficiency. As a Bechtech customer, you receive VIP benefits, including local service reps and offering the fastest repair turnaround time and comprehensive after-sales report. We're a local company and invested in your success. It's time to talk technology with Bechtech at 428-7000. Bechtech, Central Illinois technology company, located 645 South Franklin, providing technology solutions for you.
Here is Nick Smith. Sunshine abounds, and that's a good thing.
That's right. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 56 and a little breezy. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low of 31. Friday, sunny again with a high of 44 and a little bit of wind as well. Saturday, sunny yet again, high near 54. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 38 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Mark Tupper joins us each and every weekday morning with Tupper on Sports. All right, the Illini are on the road against Ohio State.
That is exactly right, and there is a lot at stake tonight in Columbus, Ohio, when number 23 Illinois takes on 19th-ranked Ohio State in a 6 o'clock Big Ten basketball game. Thanks to the Rutgers victory over Maryland on Tuesday, Illinois has a chance to achieve a lot of its goals, goals that frankly seemed impossible back in December. Here's the deal. There are two regular season games to go, tonight at Ohio State and Sunday evening at home against Iowa. If Illinois wins both of them, they will win at least a share of the Big Ten championship. If they win tonight, they'll be one of the four Big Ten teams to receive a double bye in next week's Big Ten tournament, meaning they wouldn't have to play on Wednesday or Thursday and would play their first Big Ten tournament game on Friday. They are 6-point underdogs tonight against an Ohio State team that survived a rough patch earlier in the season but seems to have figured out some of its issues. They've now won 5 of their last 6 games. This is a good Ohio State team led by brothers Caleb and Andre Wesson. Caleb is their star. He is a big dude, 6'9", 270, can score inside, and he's their best three-point shooter. For Illinois, they have 5 Big Ten road wins, and they need a 6th. And to do that, they just need to do what they do, which is defend. They're one of the best in the country. They need to rebound. They've been very good with that. And they need to continue to get balanced scoring with Io Desumu and Kofi Coburn and one or two others. I'll be watching Trent Frazier tonight because he is way overdue to end a long shooting slump. They really need him to start knocking down shots again. And then to win on the road, you know, either Andres Feliz or Alan Griffin will probably need to step up. It's an early start tonight, 6 o'clock. You can listen to it here on WSOY. It'll be televised on ESPN. No sport talk tonight. There'll be pregame Illini basketball from 5 to 6. Then the game at 6. If you think, Brian, about the doom and gloom people felt when Illinois blew that game to Miami and then looked so bad in the bragging rights game against Missouri, to be playing for a chance at a Big Ten title on March the 5th is pretty remarkable. I would not have believed, nor would any sane thinking Illini fan have believed that back in late December, and yet here we are. 6 o'clock start tonight.
All right. On the other side of the break, more basketball with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It's brought to you by Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union.
Put your home to work with Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union. Whether you want to consolidate debt, prepare for spring with home improvements, or make a large purchase, a home equity loan is a great solution. And from February 1st to March 31st, we have rates as low as 2.89%. So call, stop in, or visit Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union at decu.com to apply. For full details, visit decu.com. Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union will meet you there. DECU is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 772-569.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sport. All right, postseason basketball.
Yeah, most of the college basketball conference tournaments will be played next week, including the Big Ten men's tournament Wednesday through Sunday in Indianapolis. But some are underway now or start tonight. The Missouri Valley Conference tournament is in St. Louis. They call it Arch Madness. And Illinois State, which has had a tough year, plays Drake at 6 o'clock tonight. The Ohio Valley Conference tournament, which includes Eastern Illinois, is underway in Evansville. Last night, Eastern beat Jacksonville State 67-61. They advance and play Austin Peay tonight. And in the Big Ten women's tournament in Indianapolis, Wisconsin ended Illinois' season 71-55. Illinois finishes 11-19. High school postseason play also underway. And last night in the boys' Mattoon Regional, Eisenhower advanced with a 53-50 win over Mattoon. Eisenhower will play Springfield Lanphier, which beat the Panthers twice during the regular season. The big game tomorrow night will take place in the Casey Sectional, where the state's number 5 ranked team, Effingham St. Anthony, will play the state's number 4 ranked team, Central A&M, for the sectional championship. St. Anthony eliminated Casey Westfield last night. Central A&M beat Altamont on Tuesday. This will be an epic showdown between two teams capable of winning the state championship. 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Casey. And back to college for just a moment. The regular season ends Sunday. Selection Sunday, where the NCAA tournament field is unveiled, is a week from Sunday. And the NCAA tournament starts with those play-in games on Tuesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. The Final Four this year at Nick Smith Stadium in Atlanta, his home stadium. April the 6th is the national championship game.
All right, my friend, enjoy your day. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Your home deserves the best, and if your home could talk, it would totally ask for an entertainment upgrade. Well, Xfinity has you covered with this incredible limited-time sale. Because now, through March 8th, you can get $100 back with a choice of the services that are right for you. You'll get amazing Wi-Fi coverage throughout the home and advanced security with the X-Fi Gateway, so you know everyone's devices will be connected and protected. Plus, you'll also score Xfinity X1 with the Emmy Award-winning voice remote, giving your family the easiest all-in-one entertainment experience. That means you can find your family's favorite shows and movies with just your voice. Choose your eligible services now and get $100 back. So when you and your home get exactly what you both need and more. This limited time sale ends March 8th. So seriously, hurry in today and don't miss it. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit your local Xfinity store today. Offer ends 3-8-20, requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Restrictions apply, requires subscriptions to Extra or Preferred TV and Performance, Blast or Extreme Internet, new customers only. 2-year term contract required. We'll take a break. We get back to City Hall Insider and I, Paul Osborne, will reflect on the passing of Mayor McElroy 5 years ago. Final golf outing in support of the YMCA is going to be this July to the date of the day that he died. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we return. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sherry Doty, and I'm running for Macon County Circuit Clerk. It's been my honor to serve the people of Macon County in the Circuit Clerk's office for the last 35 years. My husband, Randy, and I are proud to be lifelong Macon County residents, where he runs Roughin' It, which takes care of many of our citizens' best friends. To lead the Circuit Clerk's office effectively, it takes a depth of knowledge and experience. I have managed each and every department in my 23 years as a supervisor within the office. Currently, I serve as Chief Deputy under Circuit Clerk Lois Durbin, who is retiring this year. I am so thankful to earn her endorsement and many of my colleagues. I understand that each and every person who comes into our office deserves a chance, and I will work diligently with a servant's heart. I will use my 35 years of experience and leadership skills to continue to serve the citizens of Macon County and move the office forward. I'm asking for your vote in the Republican primary on March 17th. Sherry Doty for Macon County Circuit Clerk. paid for by Friends of Sherry Doty.
When preparing to sell your home, it's important to list your property accurately from the very beginning when there's a peak amount of excitement over your new listing. Research shows that 90% of buyers will view your home if it's priced at market value. So how do you reach the right price? You talk to your Brinkotter Realtor, who will conduct a thorough analysis of the current market, an evaluation of your home's location, size and condition, and the competition landscape. Don't risk missing the right buyer.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
Running has always been important to me. Then one race, I couldn't catch my breath.
Elizabeth knew Prairie Heart Institute at St. Mary's Hospital would have the answers.
Turns out, I had a heart defect and needed surgery. It was one of the scariest times of my life, but I'm so thankful for the care St. Mary's provided me.
Prairie Heart offers world-class heart care right here at St. Mary's Hospital. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, the first choice for your heart care needs.
Millikan University has been named one of the most desired schools of the last decade by Lind.edu. What is it that puts Millikan at the top of the list for so many students? Maybe it's the outstanding graduate success rate or the option to choose from over 50 academic programs. Maybe it's the chance to get involved with more than 90 student organizations and 23 athletic teams. Students are choosing to make it Millikan now more than ever before, as Millikan recently welcomed the largest number of new traditional students in university history. Be a part of the difference. Learn more at Millikan.edu.
Now through April, Decatur area high school seniors will be highlighted with the Hickory Point Bank and Trust Merit Scholars Program, recognizing the area's best and brightest students. The following students from St. Teresa High School have been selected for their academic success and excellence: Sydney McNamara, Michael Less, Lexi Huck, and Nicholas Rahill. One overall winner will be named Hickory Point Bank Merit Scholar of the Year and receive a $5,000 scholarship. Visit HickoryPointBank.com for more information.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning. City Hall insider Paul Osborne in the studios, former mayor of Decatur, twice elected by the folks by a very large margin. You had opponents the first time, no opposition the second time, right?
Right. Someone almost ran and they didn't show up.
They chickened out because they remember the results from the first time.
I don't know about that.
Come on, Paul.
Maybe they had pity on me.
Might have. 5 years since we lost our former mayor, Mike McElroy. I want to tell a quick story because it did happen. I will remember this day. It was actually about a two-week period because there were two Fridays in a row. Mayor McElroy died on the July date. And then the next week, overnight, Nancy Rude died, the director of the Oasis homeless shelter for so long. And it was like, man, those were a couple of tough Friday mornings. Yeah. You know, you're on the air. You find out about it while you're on the air. You wrote about getting the call from Tim Gleason. You got to go on and do the rest of the show. And you don't know if family's, you know, been notified. This isn't a breaking news thing. It's a friend thing. And it just, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I remember sitting right here in this chair and just, not being able to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, and as mentioned in the column today, I remember the words that former city manager Tim Gleason said. He called me and he said, "We've lost the mayor." And it didn't, I thought, lost the mayor is, I didn't equate that to death. I really didn't. It took me a couple of minutes and then he started to explain and it was stunning. It was. And Tuna and I kept in contact, years after I left. I think it's true probably of most mayors that you leave.
It's a small club.
Yeah,
you guys
is.
Know the stuff that no one else knows.
And Tuna was a close ally when he was on council. He was a council member when I was mayor, all the years I was mayor. Always counted on him. He always came by during those years. Sometimes he'd bring somebody with him that they had a question. He was really good about not just listening to someone, but he'd bring that person to the mayor and just talk to him in my office a couple of days before this happened and talk to him on the phone fairly often. And just like, no, it just did not register. And I'm sure the same thing happened to you, that it just saw him not that long ago and he's gone now.
Yeah. 5 years. I want to tell a quick story, if you don't mind, and maybe some of you know it or you don't, but that was July 17th, right?
Right.
And the celebration would have been that first weekend of August 5 years ago. And I remember talking to Kevin, and we thought about it would be really – we need to – you know, yeah, the funeral was unbelievable, and there was – the first time I ever remember in my life – do you remember the funeral procession? We were driving down from, you know, the church, and there were people on the streets, like on sidewalks, standing outside, watching the procession go by. I'd never seen that. I mean, you see it in movies or like maybe some big city somewhere, but I'd never seen it here in Decatur. People were just like stand out of respect.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling around to the Civic Center, and they had those two fire engines down there with that gigantic American flag on those ladder trucks. And it was just like unbelievable. I mean, it's like goosebumps, you know. And then after that was over, you know, we thought, okay, we're all going to come together for this Decatur celebration. And Tuna, by the way, didn't love the celebration because for him, it was always work because, you know, Budweiser was all, you know, I mean, he loved the celebration for what it meant for the community. And he always, you know, he, as all mayors, are up there to open, you know, the Decatur celebration. You know, that's their job. You did that. You know, everybody does. But I don't want to romanticize Tuna's relationship with the celebration. And it wasn't anything anti. It was just sort of, it was always work to him. But we thought about, man, can we do something public, right? And so we talked to the family, and we talked to my dear friend Shaney Goss, who is a local artist, and we had to find a building owner. We had to go out and raise the money because it wasn't inexpensive to do, and that whole mural project came together. But you realize from the 17th, the day he passed, to the first week of August is only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm just still amazed at how people just pulled together to make that happen.
Well, and I see that mural every day when I walk to the post office. I walk up Water Street and then go across so I can see that mural every day. And
same reason I pull. I mean, I come around Central Park intentionally when I get here in the morning for the same exact reason.
Yeah, and I would say it's always a good feeling I have. I'm sad that he's gone, but it's a good feeling because of knowing him and sharing a lot of memories with him at the time. So, it was a shock when he passed away, but reflecting on, he was so supportive of what I did as a council member, and certainly a lot of the things that I was working on, he promised me, and he did. He said, "I'm going to continue that." And he did, which sure made it a lot easier for me to look at the next mayor and say, this is someone who's going to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Shaney, and I know Jerry Johnson helped with it. And Kevin and I came and sat right here in these studios and made like 10 phone calls in 15 minutes and raised all the money that we needed to raise to pay for all of it. And no one, there were no no's. I mean, everyone just immediately said yes. I think the lady that owns the building lives in Florida, you know, like reach out to her to get, you know, permission to, you know, where are we going to put this thing? Then we were able to do prints of the actual piece of art that Shaney created for all the family members. And I'll never forget that weekend just watching Pat and Timmy and all those guys standing in this parking lot right behind us, just watching it get completed as the celebration continued. And then it was done, and it was just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it really was. That was the building the Tribune was in for a lot of years. It had been kind of neat to have that, to see him walking to work and that. But I do, as you do. I see it every day, and I think of him every day when I'm walking.
He was such an optimist, you know, in many ways. Listen, Tuna could be cynical, and Tuna was funny, and Tuna was sarcastic. But he was an optimist about this community.
I think Tuna's big strength, too, you know, wasn't getting up and speaking in front of 1,000 people. It was one-on-one. You liked the guy. You know, he was good at talking to people.
One of the worst radio interviews ever. And I used to just give him crap about that because you, Mayor, we're sitting here just having a one-on-one conversation. Yeah. I see you do this. He was terrible on air. It just wasn't his thing. But he controlled a room. He controlled that council.
Yeah.
You know, some of the shenanigans that get pulled today, I don't know that they would have on his watch because he could also be intimidating, you know. But he listened to everyone. He was down the middle. He common sense guy. I had so many memories and so much laughter and so much joy that 5 years from now you can remember that more than you remember the loss, right? I mean, that's what time does for you. But I have this picture right behind me every day that I look at. You know what that was? That picture was taken at the ceremony that was going to induct you into the Decatur Hall of Fame.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I have no idea what he was laughing about. We were having some sort of conversation. But that's the relationship that I miss the most, or just those side conversations and the fun and the commentary and the laughter. 5 years. If you want to support the YMCA, and Tuna was a gigantic YMCA supporter, this is your last opportunity to play in this event. And it's a lot of fun. They do a toast. The family's there. And it's also time to let the family go, too, right? I mean, this stuff, I know when I had this conversation with Carla Miller about the Rodney Miller Triathlon, you know, you want to honor the memory of a loved one, but you don't want to do this to where it becomes a burden. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like the Y did the right thing. You do this for 5 years, a lot of money raised for the Y. Tuna would have been happy about that. But it is a responsibility to ask the family to come out every year and publicly sort of do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a time limit on that, I think.
Yeah, I think the 5 year limit is appropriate.
Yeah.
It just seems right.
And kudos to the Y
yeah.
for thinking about it that way, right? That Tuna would go into the Y. I'm not sure how much working out he ever actually did. He would kind of lean on machines, you know what I mean? And he used to wear this, like, sweatsuit. Do you remember those things like the wrestlers would wear in high school to, like, cut weight? You know, like those rubber suits?
Yeah.
And he probably lost 800 pounds over the 20 years that I knew him. The problem is, you know, he gained 1,200. But he loved the Y. He'd hold court in the locker room.
Yeah.
Those are the things I miss.
Yeah. I think we need to give some credit, too, that the council Tuna had was a pretty solid council. The present mayor was a member of that council.
Yep.
Jerry Dawson,
Dana Ray.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for those people that served on that
grown-ups.
Council. Yeah.
Grown-ups that you don't have to agree on everything. There's not a litmus test. But grown-ups, people who are there because they feel a responsibility to lead this community. Right now, I got a whole bunch of people on a radar screen that just like nut jobs, and all they want to do is scream and yell about everything. Grown-up people there to do a responsible job.
Yeah, I think that was a good time in our history, with Tuna and the projects they worked on and the council they had, pretty solid council. And those members, you know, most of the members of the council are still active in the community. It didn't stop when they left the council.
Nope. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more. Here is Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. City Hall Insider. Stay tuned.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 56 and a little breeze tonight. Increasing clouds with a low of 31. For your Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 44 and a little bit of wind. And then Saturday, sunny with a high near 54. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 40 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:54.
How would you like to have a say in how your donations are used in our community? With the Community Foundation of Macon County's Give 365 Giving Circle, you do. Through the Give 365 Giving Circle, when you donate just a dollar a day for a year, you have a vote in how the funds are used. Just think of all of the good you can do for our community organizations, schools, seniors, kids, the arts, food banks, animals, and so much more with $365 a year. You can donate monthly or a one-time payment. And when your donations are combined with other Give 365 Giving Circle donations, we can do even more for the community. Let's work together to make a more powerful impact. Donate for yourself, with your spouse, or as a family or group to make a difference. Sign up for the Community Foundation of Macon County's Give 365 Giving Circle today and have your say at MaconCountyGives.org.
Pot shops would forever change our community. These shops peddling today's super potent pot, nothing like the old Woodstock weed, are bad for our kids, will put more stone drivers on our roads, lower our property values, and increase crime. Communities across the state are opting out of legalization to keep pot shops off their main streets. We should join them. On March 17th, help keep pot shops off our streets by voting to opt out. The future of our community depends on it. Paid for by Opt Out Decatur.
McLeod Express, one of the finest trucking companies in this area, is looking for local professional CDL drivers. Most drivers want a job they can call home, where they can feel appreciated and valued. Look no further. You will be home daily, paid by the hour, and we offer a monthly productivity bonus, as well as $500 orientation pay. McLeod Express, family owned, family focused, family driven. Call 866-379-8377 and join our family today.
Don't miss the All Things Home Show, presented by Carpet Weavers and the Metro Decatur Home Builders, March 14th and 15th, showcasing dozens of experts, industry trends, a new retail area, and more. Sponsors, Newhoff Media, Rainy Nursery, Prairie Insulation, JP Construction, Shop on Main, Skeff Distributing, Pepsi, Lowe's, and Liaison Homes have provided door prizes and fun activities. Check out DecaturHomeBuilders.com or Metro Decatur HBA on Facebook for details.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ibora, and I'm asking for your vote on March 17th for Macon County Circuit Clerk. If elected, I plan on bringing fresh, innovative ideas, along with positive ideas to enhance the taxpayer experience when dealing with the Circuit Clerk's office. I plan on bringing quality service and work to improve relationships with all agencies to better serve our community and reduce government costs. On March 17th, I'm asking you to vote for me, Jennifer Ibora, Macon County Circuit Clerk.
Paid for by Friends of Ibora.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. Coming up next hour, we will have a United Way update. James Keith will be joining us, plus Sherry Doty, who is the other candidate on the ballot for the Republican primary for Circuit Clerk, both employees of the office, so you'd think they'd have some expertise, but we'll get to meet her for the first time. Looking forward to that. Paul, it'll be an interesting primary. Do people care? Your state's attorney, your circuit clerk, your county board, for sure.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
Well, it does, and it's unfortunate, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, there hasn't been a lot of publicity out there. In some ways, that's good. There's not a lot of stone throwing or things like that, so that's usually what makes the news. So.
I hope people show up, and I also hope, this one Republican primary is very important on the county board because I, for one, think Kevin Greenfield's doing a really good job as chairman of the Macon County Board. That separates this out a little bit. It's different than the rest of the races.
Yeah, and I think it's, I think you've had...
We've had both. Well, Kevin will be on with us. We had his opponent on.
Yeah.
But that is important. And if you talk to the mayor, you talk to people of all political persuasions, they all will tell you that the city, the county board, that these entities are working together better than they ever have.
Yeah.
And that's important.
And that hasn't always been the case.
No. It rarely has ever been the case.
Yeah. So that is important, that's for sure.
But it'll be a small number of people right in that little Mount Zion area that will decide that.
Yeah. Well, it's about like Mike Madigan's district. Small district deciding who runs Illinois.
Yeah, no. Really? Well, I think it's important. Anyway, we've got guests coming up over the next couple of weeks before we get to that March 17th primary. City Hall insider Paul Osborne, we've got only about 30 seconds left here. If people want to subscribe or get the Tribune, how do they do that?
You can go online to DecaturTribune.com or call 422-9702 or send a check for $40 to P.O. Box 1490.
What a deal. $40 for
less
a year.
Less than $1 a week.
Yeah.
We've been anywhere in the country.
That's amazing. And then you can, of course, follow it online at DecaturTribune.com. Paul updates that all throughout the week. Great to see you, my friend. We'll see you next Thursday.
That's